I am so excited about this new series that we're starting into. This is actually, like, I think it's so cool that we're going to be in the middle of this series as we head into Soul Care, because Soul Care is really all about this. This series is all about soul care and just being aware of the stuff around us, the stuff that we don't even see. Okay, so this is our last series in the book of Ephesians. Can you believe that? By the time we finish this series, we'll have gone through the entire book of Ephesians as a church family. And this is our final message series, and it's all about becoming battle ready. Battle ready, all right? So Paul has written this beautifully Spirit-inspired letter to the church of Ephesians, is who he addressed it to, but really it's to all of us, right? It's written to all of us. And, I mean, he's taken us on this journey about what it looks like to, like, become a member of God's family, what it looks like to be in relationship with Jesus and then being in a family together, about being rooted in God's truths and who he created you to be and letting your roots go deep. He has talked to us about certain guardrails and just ways to keep us, like, on the path that God has for us for eternity. And then also just what it looks like to have great spiritual relationships with each other, with our family members, with our workplaces, right? And then we get to this final place in the book of Ephesians. This portion of scripture is one of the most taught on, the most preached on. There's so many books written about it. It's one of the most talked about in church circles as we get down to it. So there must be something important for us to learn here. If it is so widely talked about, written about, preached about, we probably should pay attention, okay? And everything that Paul has written to the church in Ephesus about is leading up and building the foundation for this final section of scripture, okay? And we get into this final portion and we kind of realize that Paul's actually been taking us on a boot camp. He's been training us and just throwing truth at us to get down in our souls, for us to have some spiritual foundation for about what we're about to step into, okay? And the truth is this, that we've been engaged. There's been a battle since the serpent approached Eve, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. There's been this battle. Now, the good news is this. The war is already won. Okay, do you hear that? Like, we talked about that today in prayer. Listen, if you're not joining us for our 9:15 prayer time, I'm just going to make an open invitation to you right now, like, join us at 9:15 every Sunday morning. It's pretty powerful how we just, I mean, we pray together, we encourage each other, we just share things that God is speaking to our hearts. We pray over this place, we pray over you. So join us. But this morning, it was Jeremy. Jeremy says this, like, you know, God just really talked to him about how the war's already won. There's battles that happen and they pop up. But the thing is this, the war was completed the day Jesus rose. It was done. Everything that needed to happen in order for us to live with eternity, to live in eternity with Jesus in heaven, was done. Okay? And so what we look at from that point on is the fact that Satan knows the battle's done, the war is won. He knows that he loses. He already knows it. And so his goal is this: to get every single person to doubt what Jesus has done, what Jesus offers, and to take as many people down with him as possible. I don't know about you, but I don't plan on being one of those people, right? I don't plan on being one of those people. And we, as we enter into this message series, this is actually like you're going to kind of see a new side of me maybe you haven't seen before, because this is the kind of stuff that excites me. I love using spiritual tools, godly tools that God gives us to just kick Satan right in the teeth. I find such pleasure in it. I really do. And I'm going to share some personal stories with you today, but let's read the portion of scripture that we're going to read today. Today's message is this. It's called this. Who's the bad guys? And it's a topic that we have to get down deep and become very connected to in order to move forward in this. Because we have to know who the battle is with in order to win the battle, right? We got to know who it's with. And it might surprise you a little bit, okay? So we're going to read this portion of scripture together. It's Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 13. And I'm taking this out of, Jason wrote it in from the NLT. But that is not right. It's actually the CSB. I even told him that. By the way, Jason is he's on his way to Orlando today. He's speaking at a conference. I don't know which conference it is. Listen, if you're new and you don't know, okay, if you're brand new, if you raise your hand, you're a guest here. I'm so sorry, I should have introduced myself. My name's Pastor Paula. My husband, Pastor Jason, and I are co-lead pastors of Hope City. And Pastor Jason travels a lot as part of his job. And I don't always know where he is. I think it's quite good that I know today he's traveling from St. Louis to Louisville and then flying to Tampa and driving to Orlando. Right? That is good. Thank you. Thank you. I don't know why he's in Orlando, though. But that's where he is, wherever he's going to be. So he actually did I sent him these notes, and he did these slides for me last night. And I told him that what version of scripture I was using, and he just thought that I was doing NLT. But actually, this is from the Christian Standard Bible. It's a newer translation that I've just kind of been reading from, and I really, really like it. So I wanted to share it with you today. Here's what it says. Finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the ruler, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. For this reason, take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. Okay. Paul's words give us precise instruction on how to manage spiritual attacks. And here's what I want us to understand about this. When we get into a portion of scripture like this, when we're talking about spiritual attack, and here's what we mean by spiritual attack. It means you feel something coming at you. You can feel it. You feel like it's off. You can't see it, but you can feel it. That's called a spiritual attack. Now, there are some that would just say like, oh man, the devil is attacking me, and this is happening. This, and this happened. And because the devil is attacking me, and I'm just going to tell you that Sometimes there are actual physical situations that do happen because the enemy is trying to set up a pitfall. There's also, more often than that, situations that are negative that happen just because of called natural consequences, right? That happen because of our choices, because of somebody else's choices that happen. And the attack on us isn't that situation, but it's then what happens up here in our head and the thoughts that go on that swarm and rob us from our joy and rob us from like believing the best out of this situation. Okay, so there's two things that we can do here. We can be like, oh man, you know, the devil's attacking me, or God, what's the truth? And run with that, okay? I'm not one that goes and like looks for a demon around every corner. Do I believe they exist? Absolutely. I'm going to share some stories with you today. Yes, absolutely. They exist. They have an assignment from Satan himself to rob, kill, and destroy people, period. Right? But more often than not, what I want is I want to get God's heart on the matter, and I want to speak his truth into the matter. That's what I want. Okay? So that's what this message is about today. Who was the bad guys? Who's the bad guys in our world? And what are we going to do about it? And so we're going to take this portion of scripture, we're going to break it down a little bit into three really easy to follow things. The first thing is this. How strong are you? How strong are you? So in Ephesians 6:10, it says, finally, be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast strength. Combat typically requires strength, right? That's why when a person goes and joins the armed forces in any branch, they go through what's called a boot camp to build up their physical strength, to build up their mental strength, and get them ready for the battle at hand. So combat typically requires some sort of physical strength. But there's the best thing about spiritual combat. We're not responsible for the strength. We are not responsible to provide the strength for spiritual combat. Paul specifically says, be strengthened by the Lord. Find strength in him. He has every bit of strength that you need. If you are going around trying to figure things out on your own understanding, you're going to exhaust yourself. Be strengthened by the Lord in his vast strength. I'm going to read this to you from the Passion because it so beautifully puts into words what Paul's saying. The Passion Translation says this, now, my beloved ones, I have saved the most important truths for last. Here it is. Get ready. Be supernaturally infused with strength through your life union with the Lord Jesus. Doesn't that just make you want to go, woo? If you're sitting in this room and you have made a decision to follow Jesus, you recognize that your life is incomplete without his presence in your life. You are now in what this says as a life union with Jesus, and you have the ability to be supernaturally infused with his strength. I mean, that is good, right? Stand victorious with the force of his explosive power flowing in and through you. Woo! Come on, that should make you excited. You're super quiet, but that should make you really excited that when we have made a decision to follow Jesus, we now are supernaturally infused with his explosive power. That means this: every time we speak truth out of our mouth, it's like throwing a grenade at the enemy, right? That's what I feel like. I'm sorry, I'm not a boy. Boys have this like natural ability to make war noises. Have you ever noticed that? I can't do it. Boom! I used to play G.I. Joe with my friends. Like, when I was growing up, our pastors had two boys, and they always wanted to play G.I. Joe. And they were the only friends I had that were my age, so I would play G.I. Joe with them if they promised to play Barbies with me. And they would do it, but I had to play G.I. Joe way off more often. Then they would play Barbies, and I would go, pew, 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 and they'd be like, that is, I mean, they would explode me with their boom all the time, right? Okay, so as long as you have a relationship with Jesus, this explosive power is living in you. You don't have to work it up. You don't have to work it up, okay? You don't have to be like, oh man, there's stuff going on, and Jesus, I need your explosive power. I need you to like supernaturally infuse me. It's already there. You know how we do it? We just worship. I came home from work the other night, and it was just me, and Julia was at home. And she was in the kitchen cooking dinner, which was a super big blessing for me. And I walk through the door, and she's blaring worship music. Like, it's just poof, through the whole house. And I had kind of a cruddy day. And I walked in, and that worship music is just blaring. And I'm like, yeah. I mean, it like, everything that was like sitting on me just fell off and melted away. Because that presence was already in my home, and I just felt it, and it was like, I didn't have to do anything. It was just there. We just have to worship. We just have to soak in his presence, okay? And what I mean, like, we soak in his presence, think about a bathtub. Huh? Yeah. Just think of a bathtub. Like, when you're soaking in a tub, you've had a day, maybe a long week, and you're just sitting in a big garden tub full of hot, as you can handle it, water. And there's something that happens. Like, you're like, you just start to feel yourself like, okay, all right, uh-huh. That's what it's like to soak in his presence. When you just sit still and you have worship music playing, maybe you're reading God's word, maybe you're just talking to somebody else about God's truth, and you can just feel it like, okay, I feel it. There's nothing crazy about it. There's nothing like explosive that happens when we just sit there and let his presence flow over us. It's actually super relaxing. Did you ever think that you could like look at a battle and be like, yeah, I'm so relaxed? That's what it looks like to be strengthened by the Lord and by his vast power. We can be relaxed in the battle because he just asks us to worship him, to soak in his presence, and to spend time talking to him, praying. How strong are you? You're as strong as you choose to be. You're as strong as you choose to be. How connected with God's presence are you? That's how strong you are. The next point is this. Who's the enemy? Who is the enemy? It's very easy for us when things are coming at us, especially if things are coming at us through the mouth of another person, it's very easy to put a face on the enemy, right? Well, that, you know, they said this and this and this, and did you hear that they said this and they told me that? And it's very easy to label the wrong person as the enemy. Here's what Paul says, Ephesians 6:12. Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood means humans. Okay? Our struggle's not with humans, but against the ruler, the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. Here's what I want you to understand. Is we live in two worlds. We live in a physical world that we can see, but we also live in a spiritual world that we don't always see, but you can feel it, you can sense it, right? The enemy, the bad guys that are coming at you, they like to hide out in that world that you can't see. And they like to hide behind what you can see, so that you can put the blame on the wrong thing. And they can get you to fight each other and destroy each other. Right? But here's what Paul says. Our struggle's not against each other. Don't play into his trap. Our struggle isn't against each other. It's against the ruler, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this darkness, against evil spiritual forces in the heavens. What Paul is saying is just like in our earthly, physical military, there's rankings of people. It's the same in the spiritual world. The ruler himself is Satan, and he has different rankings of demonic imps that he sets out on assignment to destroy you. That's the bad guys. And they're going to use whatever they can do in order to keep you distracted from what Paul's already talked to us about being rooted in God's truth, about being united as a family, about having harmony in our relationships. They hate it. They hate it. And they want you to break up with each other. Because there is a power that comes in numbers. And when we're united, we are dangerous. Right? And so the best thing to do is if there's someone, if you can put a face on the attack, just take a moment to step back and be like, Jesus, what's the truth? What's the truth right now? In the Passion Translation, it says this: your hand-to-hand combat is not with human beings, but with the highest principalities and authorities operating in rebellion under the heavenly realms. For they are a powerful class of demon gods and evil spirits that hold this dark world in bondage. Come on, that you should take a picture of that right there. That is really good. That just broke it down for you. We don't fight each other. And that's why Paul spent all this time leading up to the point, the fact of the power that we have together as a family, fighting together. Because if he can get us to fight amongst ourselves, then guess what? We're not fighting him. Right? And we're not demon hunting. We're not demon hunting, but we're aware. That's a difference. When we lived in Springfield, Missouri, we attended James River Church. And Pastor John Lindell, who could, this is not the truth. He could get up and preach for an hour, and you would not know that an hour had gone by. I'm not preaching for an hour. But he could. And you wouldn't even know that an hour had gone by. And one thing he said, and it stuck with me, and it has stuck with me over and over and over throughout the years. When he was preaching on the book of Ephesians, and he said this, if you don't think that every situation is a result of the unseen realm, you're being deceived. Let that sink in for a minute. Right? If you don't think that every situation is the result of the unseen realm, you're being deceived. That means good or bad. Good or bad. And it's really easy when bad things happen to look for someone to blame or say that it's the enemy attacking us. But man, when good things happen, what are we doing? That's a result of the unseen realm too. That's a result of God's favor, God's grace, his protection, his plan. Are we, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this. I got into this habit when that became like, that sunk into me. I got into this habit of like, when I would have a good idea or I would remember something that I had forgotten and I remembered that I needed to do it, I would say this, thank you, Jesus, for that idea. Thank you, Jesus, for reminding me of that. It has revolutionized the fact that I'm not taking any credit for good ideas, for remembering things, even for like doing well on like tests and quizzes or whatever. Every good thing is a result of an unseen realm. So thank you, Jesus, for that. It revolutionized my thinking. And the more that we pay attention to these things, the more aware we become. The more we dismiss it, the more numb we become. So do you want to be numb or do you want to be aware? It's your choice. And the last thing is this. How do we win? How strong are you? Who are we fighting against? But how do we win? Well, Paul says this, stand your ground. Stand your ground and don't give in to negative thoughts, attitudes, or behaviors. That's how we win. Ephesians 6:13, for this reason, take up the full armor of God, and that's what we're going to be doing in the next several weeks is we're going to be taking every single piece of the armor that Paul mentions in scripture and breaking it down on a spiritual level. Because when he wrote this, what you might not realize is that he was sitting in a Roman prison and had Roman guards at his view at all times. And so he had this in-depth study of the Roman guard attire, the Roman soldier's attire, as he get into writing this, okay? So take up the full armor of God so that you may be able to resist on the evil day, and having prepared everything, to take your stand. So I have a couple of stories to share with you. So as I really started digging into this about being aware, listening to what God is saying, to his voice about situations, speaking his truth. One night when we were living in Port Angeles, Washington, we were pastoring up there. I was asleep and I had a terrible nightmare. In this nightmare, and I'm not going to tell you about it because it was awful, it was actually awful. But as I was waking up from this nightmare, I heard this voice. I'm sure it was in my dream, but it felt like it was right next to me. And this is what it said. I'm in killing your twins. For those of you that don't know, we have, Jason and I have four kids. Avi, our oldest, who was leading worship today. Ryan, our second, our son, he lives in Bend. And then we have two twin daughters, Audrey and Julia. They're 18 now. At this time, they were seven or eight. And this voice says, I'm in killing your twins. And I immediately jumped out of my bed. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning. And I walked. They were sound asleep. And I was like, honestly, in a panic. Like, what is going on? And I just kind of was praying, talking like, okay, what? This is how I pray. Jesus, what's going on? I'm a little scared right now. And remember, the more aware, the more you practice, the more aware you are. And I'm looking into their closet, and I could swear I could see these yellow eyes staring back at me. And I immediately said, you can't be here. You need to leave. And it wouldn't leave. And so I'm becoming all mama bear. I'm like, I'm not leaving this room. You need to leave. And it wouldn't move. And I was like, Jesus, I have authority. You told me I have authority. You gave me all authority. What? And I just hear this voice. What's the truth? What's the truth? So this voice said, what's the truth? And you know that moment in the movie, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the cartoon version, where the Grinch has this thought and all of a sudden he's like, this impish little grin. Jesus says, what's the truth? And this is me. The truth is that every single night when I put these twins to bed, I pray, Jesus, put your angels around each every corner of this bed and keep them safe and protect them. And I looked that thing right in the eyes and I said, so I dare ya. Try it. And as soon as I said that, gone. Gone. The truth was that they were super protected. It was about instilling fear into this mom's heart that they were going to get attacked. And as soon as I spoke out the truth that every night I pray for those angels of protection around my children, he could do nothing. He could do nothing. So, feeling all like, gotcha, yeah. A few days later, I'm at the church, and I was in the worship center. I was doing something, and we had a balcony there as well. And I'm just praying and singing as I'm walking through, and I see this little head bobbing up in the balcony. And I was like, oh, uh-uh, you can't be here. This isn't your house. You need to leave now. You don't get to be here. You're not going to, no. Did you hear me? I said you can't be here. No, you need to. And all of a sudden I realized, that's a balloon. That's actually a helium balloon that is losing its helium, bobbing up and down. Well, any demon that might have been listening, you can't be here either. And I just turned around and walked right on out. But the point of this is that in both situations, I was taking my stand. I was taking my stand, and I was just speaking out the words that Holy Spirit gave me. I didn't have to be crazy. In Jesus' name, I commandeth thee. I didn't have to be all crazy. It was this. The truth is this. Do you see that? The truth is this. And all of a sudden, anything that was trying to attack my soul had no power. Because God's truth is supernaturally spirit-infused. It's explosive, and it blows them up. Here's how I want to end today. I want to read Ephesians 6:13 out of the Passion Translation. Because of this, you must wear all the armor that God provides so you're protected as you confront the slanderer, for you are destined for all things and will rise victorious. Come on, you should get excited about that. You are destined for all things and you will rise victorious. What do you have to do? Take your stand. Speak God's truth. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that in just a few simple verses, you can remind us of the authority that is living within us as your children. Because of Jesus and his willingness to die for our sins, we are now your children. And all authority and power that was given to Jesus now rests on us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be defeated. With every eye closed right now, I'm going to ask you this. If you're sitting in this room and you say, you know what? I want to do that. Like, I want to take a stand. But the first thing about taking a stand is this, that I don't have a relationship with Jesus. I haven't made that decision yet. And so right now, my first step in taking a stand is saying yes to Jesus. If that's you today, would you just raise your hand? I invite everyone to stand with me right now. As we get ready in the next few weeks, the next 4 weeks to be exact, as we get ready to step into a soul care weekend, the things that I talked to you about today are super, super foundational in soul care. And I'm just going to give you a little highlight here, a little foreshadowing of what's to come. You might feel like, I don't need that. Or, I know all of that. Or, no, I don't want to do that. You might feel every negative thing that is possible about soul care because of this. It'll change you. It'll change you from the inside out, whether you've been 3 times or whether you've never came. And so I just want to tell you, if you want to be more present, more aware of what's coming at you, you need to come to Soul Care. I need you to register for it so I know how many to expect. You can go online, you can go on the app. Just let me know you're coming. Okay? But don't let those thoughts of, you don't need that, I don't need that, I know this, or I don't know if I'm quite ready for that. Don't let those thoughts invade you and keep you from coming to something that will actually strengthen your spirit man, right? Will actually strengthen you. I'm really excited about it. Father, right now, I just thank you for a reminder that all the strength we need is found directly in you. You supernaturally infuse us each and every day, and your explosive power flows out of us when we speak your truth. May that be our reminder as we leave this place today. In Jesus' name, Amen. Love you guys.